Are you guys ready to record this whole thing all over again?
I didn't care for it. I didn't buy it.
That seems pretty ridiculous.
I don't even want to think about the possibility of you having your dick out.
Yikes.
Is this the most important thing in the universe? What happened to it? I don't know.
I needed to suck in absolutely every moment of awesomeness.
Yeah.
Hey guys, what's going on? Justin Cavender here, and welcome to the Geek Legacy Podcast. I am joined, as always, by Mr. Randy Van Dyke and David Edmondson. How are you two doing today?
Absolutely fantastic. Thank you.
I am doing incredible, Justin. It is a great time. I love chatting with you guys. I was doing my little Brady Bunch as you were talking. Thought it'd be cute. Clearly it was a distraction for Randy.
Justin, I was looking over towards Justin trying to figure out what to do.
How in the hell are you doing, Justin?
I am really, really hot. I have all my fans and appliances off right now, so it doesn't make any noise while we record, and I don't like it.
Sorry. But
other than that, first world problem, I suppose.
Just turn the fan on low. We'll all deal with the hum. It's fine.
It's so loud and stupid. I feel terrible. I can't do it.
Well, hopefully you'll be able to make it through this struggle.
Yeah, we'll just have to plow through it. But I should say, our first episode in a long time went up just the other day, and everyone has been so nice on social media saying, wow, it's so great to see you pop up on my feed. What a surprise. Great to hear your voices again. All those things. And thank you all very, very much. We are so excited to be back.
Yay.
Thrilled, even.
Yes. a jubilation has taken place. And I don't get to use that word too often, so I'm excited.
That's a fantastic word.
It is.
2 points for Justin.
I want to use it again tomorrow, because I need to find a way.
I don't think any of our stories are worthy of jubilation.
Maybe. Especially not this first one. AMC and Regal, and they tell Universal to pound sand.
By the time this goes out, I'm sure Cinemark and Landmark and all the other major chains will do the same. So
yeah, it's a robble, robble, robble kind of thing. Why don't you walk us through it, Mr. Edmondson, since you're so passionate about the motion picture shows.
I do love the motion picture show. I think one of the things that's being really blown out of proportion is that nothing is new. This is not new. It is really distracting when you look down at me. this is nothing new. You know, the North American Theater Owners Association, NATO, has been doing this forever. There's a theatrical window. Movies that break the theatrical window don't get to be shown in theaters. It's plain and simple. You know, forever there have been movies that have gone direct to video, then it was direct to DVD, and now it's direct to VOD. So these properties have happened, and they've been released by major studios, and the theater owners have had no problem with it. They're just like, well, we're not going to show your movie in our theater if people can just watch it at home, because that's not what we're all about. This is our business. So what happened is that Jeff Shell, who's the head of Universal, is just kind of breaking the rules. He's gone rogue, and he's saying that they're going to explore this more. They're going to do more movies, and the theater owners just simply said, that's fine. If you want to do that, we're just not going to show your movies in our theaters. They're not saying they're not going to show any Universal films. If Fast and the Furious does not have a premium VOD component, they'll show Fast and the Furious 9 in the theaters. If Fast and the Furious 9 has a PVOD component, they're not going to show them in the theater. It's simple as that. Regal's popped on, and everyone will follow suit. So it makes a good headline, but it's really a non-story.
Yeah, I think the reason why people are talking about it is because Trolls 2, the movie that started this whole debacle, actually did pretty well on the premium VOD platform, just under 100 million or something like that. In its first 3 weeks of release. And that's real close to the numbers that it did domestically anyway, when the first movie was released theatrically. And it was an interview, I don't remember what news outlet it was with, but it was in an interview that the head of Universal was making the comment, something to the effect of, yeah, this worked out so well, we'll do this with some of our others, like David was saying. And that's the comment there that really kind of set AMC over the edge, and then Regal followed suit and everything else. It's like, we understand there's extenuating circumstances right now, and you could almost look at Trolls 2 as kind of like a guinea pig. Like, it was destined for a theatrical release, but because of all the crazy shit going on right now, they decided to see what would happen with it in a PVOD format. If you look at it as a test, it probably would have flown under the radar, and it may not have super pissed off the theater chains. But because of the fact that it did do well, and it did spark the comment that we're going to explore this more. That's what really kind of was the straw that broke the camel's back. Do I have that right, David? Does that sound about
yeah.
right?
Yeah. I mean, and they've been trying to do it for years. I mean, I remember when the first 50 Shades of Grey came out, they were trying to do a premium VOD because they thought people might rather watch it in the comfort of their bedroom.
Right. They want it to arrive in discreet packaging.
Yeah. they might, maybe they would play along. Maybe it would be like a virtual experience, but sure. You know, so this is something that Universal's kind of been at the forefront of. And, you know, and to be frank, Universal is about 16% of the total box office in America. So it's not like Disney's doing this. If Disney were doing it, you know, the theater owners might bend over backwards and, like, try to find a way because Disney's such a huge lion's share of the profits now, especially with their acquisition of Fox last year. But for a 16% market share, they're not going to put up with the headaches of showing something and exhibiting something theatrically that you can watch in your home. It's just a different market.
Yeah, and it's just a strong showing of solidarity right now with the theater chains just kind of all taking a stance that this will not pass. Because honestly,
like Big Lebowski, this yeah. will not stand, will not man. Stand.
No, but seriously, because if you give people the option to watch like premium first run movies from the comfort of their own home, and they're not locked down in a quarantine situation, you know, they have the option to go to a theater, you're taking money out of the mouths of the theaters. You know, it's like you're literally going to shut down the traditional movie pipeline if we don't, you know, if people aren't going to the theaters, then the theaters aren't going to stick around. So, you know, and that's fine for certain smaller films, but what are you going to do with all the big summer tent poles and stuff like that?
Right. And the example you used of Trolls 2, while it's great that it is succeeding right now, you know, this is money that it would have made in the secondary market regardless. You know, people are renting it on the premium VOD systems right now. They're probably not going to rent it when it comes to home video later. You know, right now we're getting a lot of the people that we're going to wait for it to come, you know, come to Redbox or come to Netflix or something like that. But they're like, we're home. Let's pay $20. Let's get it. To where it had it gone theatrically, it would have made, you know, the first Trolls made like $350 million over its lifetime. They would have made, you know, presumably more because Trolls is a more popular IP now. You know, let's say they make $500 million there, and then they would make a couple $100 million on, you know, either home video, which I know it's not video anymore, home distribution, digital downloads, and VOD services through your cable company. So, I mean, fiscally, it's making money, but it's not. Trolls 2 will make significantly less than it would have if it had gone to the theaters.
At a certain point, yeah, if you're going crazy enough, Trolls 2 might be exciting even for me. I mean, I was getting a little stir crazy with this quarantine, and I might see myself renting things that I wouldn't normally do.
Yeah. I watched it. It's fun. I mean, I have kids.
Yeah. Let's put the system on trial.
Robble, robble.
All right, so moving on. Disney, they're looking to make a live-action Hercules. According to The Hollywood Reporter, Hercules will be scripted by Dave Callahan. And let's see here. The Russos will produce via their AGBO production company. These live-action Disney movies aren't necessarily my cup of tea, but they're obviously very, very successful, so they'll keep making them. But I'm a fan of the animated style.
I mean, I am too. But good on them if it's sure. the content that people are still willing to pay for. And if it's a way to kind of keep that intellectual property alive in the eyes of younger viewers, then cool. That's totally fine. But here's my question. Is the live-action version of Tarzan going to be able to...
Hercules.
Never mind. I was thinking Tarzan, it's Hercules. Okay, it's a live-action
version. Well, then I'm glad I cut you off.
Yeah, no, well, I mean, let's just fast forward a couple years. We have a live-action Tarzan. What do we got?
Well, I was going to ask if he did the whole butt cheek clapping on the in live action form. Have you seen those drawings?
Okay. It'll be good.
But I have a good Hercules one too. We can skip over Tarzan. That's a whole situation. There's like a promotional image of Tarzan swinging, and he's carrying Jane, I think, in his arm. He's carrying somebody. So both of his arms are wrapped around the person that he's carrying. His feet wrapped around the vine underneath. And some artist went and drew what it looks like from the back. It looks like, how is he holding on to the vine? Staying upright if he's only holding on to his feet. And you see it going in between his ass crack, and he's like clenched down on it. Anyway.
Love it.
It's hanging in Randy's office right now, off camera.
It's inappropriate, so I can't show it on the podcast. But I can talk about it. Okay, but Hercules, now that my head is on straight and I get that whole ass mind thing out of my head, are we going to have Hades with his head on fire?
Maybe. Anything's possible with the Hollywood hocus pocus. But I think James Woods really knocked it out of the park in the animated version. And, you know, he's gone a little crazy.
Yeah.
to put it mildly, I'm not necessarily a fan of that guy. He went a little nutso, and that's a shame because I really liked a lot of his movies. Dickstown is still like up there on my James Wood ranking list.
He is
definitely is. But I don't know, man. This is just one of those movies where I feel like an old guy saying, why does Hollywood always remake stuff and blah blah blah, but. I don't know. I feel like I have entered into that older demographic now where I just feel grumpy about stuff like this.
So with Hercules was kind of like the first animated, it's very stylized.
Right.
You know, the movies before, you know, the Beauty and the Beast, the Aladdin, the Lion Kings, those were very classic Disney animated films. And with Hercules, it was very stylized. So I don't know how that exactly translates into live action. The Disney live actions have been hit and miss for me. The ones that try to be completely faithful and are like shot for shot remakes just with live action just don't do it for me. It's like I've seen this movie, it's just like a different color. The ones that have skewed and strayed and done something different, you know, like your Peach Dragons, even Cinderella took some small changes. You know, those ones are a lot more interesting to me. And I think that with Hercules, they could go a lot of different routes. You know, Hercules has been a story told a million times. It's been very serious. It's been very, you know, silly. You know, take Kevin Sorbo and stuff.
Yeah.
It's been retold a lot in the last, like, 20 years, dude.
Yeah. I mean, The Rock was Hercules.
Yeah. So was that other guy that was in Twilight that's being, like, pegged to be He-Man.
I forget his name. But he's a strong guy. He's a big guy. He's a Cullen.
They were, like, in the same year, those two Hercules movies.
Mm-hmm. And neither one was good.
Right.
So
that's a shame.
I see what you're saying, and I agree. The ones that did take a different stance than the original version, I think those were more successful in my eyes as live action. Dumbo is a good example of that. I actually really liked the live action version of Dumbo, and there is not a talking mouse anywhere in that movie. So you can definitely tell it's different from the animated version. But the ones that are shot for shot remakes. Yeah, like Aladdin. I've talked about it before. I just couldn't get through it. I watched first 15 minutes of it, and I couldn't do it because it just felt like a bad high school production of something that I already love the original of, and I just feel like I'm watching it being butchered in front of me. I didn't even get to see Will Smith perform as the genie because I didn't.
Oh, really? That's too bad. For me, a lot of them are like curiosity. Like Aladdin, I wanted to get through because I wanted to see all those big numbers that, you know, I know and love. You know, I want to see their take on it. And from Aladdin's perspective, they really hit those ones out of the park. The one that was most disappointing to me was Beauty and the Beast because, you know, the original is kind of a treasure. But they tried to add stuff, and the stuff they added was just stupid. Have you guys seen the live action of Beauty and the Beast?
Yeah.
They had this whole
I enjoyed it.
Yeah, they had this whole subplot about Belle's mom dying of the plague. And
that's too bad.
It's just very, very, very bizarre. sorry about that. So again,
is there a backstory on Chip on how he got the chip? Like, was he beaten as a child or anything?
There should have been. I would have co-signed that, but no.
Like a broken home kind of thing. That would have been sad. I like the cartoon too that was on Disney, like the series. There was
there was a series too.
Series, yeah, it's good.
Did they bring back any of the original voices for that, or was it all new voice cast?
All new voices. Yeah. They got a guy who sounded a lot like Danny DeVito in it, but it wasn't him.
They were all new voices, or just the Pan character?
I thought they were.
Or whatever. I don't even know what his name is. What is?
He's a satyr.
Yeah.
Phil.
Phil, that's what it is.
Yeah. I know Meg wasn't the same. I know Phil wasn't the same. Hercules could have been the same. I don't know who played Hercules. I was doing my Hercules.
Right. I'll take it. I mean, I guess.
Well, you're going to get it whether you want it or not.
I know. I mean, I have Disney Plus, right? So I just watch everything that's on it. So it's
eventually.
Yeah. I feel like
I watched Lady and the Tramp live action movie.
Oh, I haven't done that one either.
Oh, I did. I watched that one too.
Is there a lovemaking scene?
No. Thankfully,
it's very erotic. It's very tasteful. Very tasteful.
Yeah, it was fun. I got a kick out of it. They like certain shall we say, racial stereotypes that were present in the original are not there in the new live action version.
Like in reference to the dog breeds having
the Scotty dog and the Siamese cats and all that kind of stuff. It's worth it. It's cute. I mean, I'm a sucker for animal movies, so. But
I think this would be a different story too if Mulan had come out as planned, because Mulan looked pretty incredible. Yeah. To where I think this announcement would have came out, you know, 2 weeks after Mulan was already $700 million.
Yeah.
I think we would be a lot more excited for this, but right now it's just kind of like, wait and see. Russo's they got a pretty good track record.
I mean, if you look at it like that, hell yeah. If we were getting a version of Hercules that's going to be like Mulan, then I'm thinking we're getting like freaking Clash of the Titans of the 2020s. Mm-hmm. You know, we're getting something big, sword, sandal, magic, adventure. And I dig that. That
makes the Titans 2010 with Sam Worthington.
I like the first one, but I didn't like the second one. No. I'm sorry. The first, the okay. Yeah, Clash of the Titans. I enjoyed the remake, and then the Wrath of the Titans, the second one. I just kept saying to myself, "Zeus," and I just was laughing. I didn't take it seriously at all. But the cast in the first one is there's a lot of people that you would recognize. Most of them have popped up in Game of Thrones, and just whatever various other movies that you've seen. But at the time. They weren't necessarily well known to a Western audience.
Yeah, I like the end of Wrath of the Titans when Zeus and Hades like team up and like they put their drama aside to take down Kronos, and they're like using each other's powers and stuff. It's pretty awesome.
Right, because they had Hades, to defeat him originally, right? Like,
yeah, and Hades survives and Zeus dies. Spoiler.
Dang, I don't remember that.
I think we can all rally around the idea that if they make it like Clash of the Titans, we're in.
Sure.
Yeah. And then get Ralph Fiennes and Liam Neeson. I'm in too.
Oh, dude. Yeah. Well, I mean, that's a given. Get Liam Neeson in anything.
Not to derail us down another rabbit hole, but did you guys see they're going to remake Doogie Howser, but they're going to gender bend it to like a half Asian, half white female? And it's going to be like Doogie Kaloa MD, and it's going to be like take place in Hawaii. It's going to be a Disney Plus series. There's no joke here. I see you bracing for the punchline.
I know. I'm like,
This is a real life thing. I was just kind of surprised. I'm like, all right.
That's cool. I was just saying the other day, you know, Doogie Howser, that's an IP that's just ripe for a remake.
For a reboot.
With the blue screen, little diary. At
the end of the day, yeah.
We're going to have a girl version of Vinny, the creep up who like sneak into his window.
Vinny Del Pino. It was great. Love that guy. And anytime he showed up in some movie, I would always be like, hey, there's Vinny. He had been in like four things, but whatever.
But one of them was Doogie Howser for 5 years.
And I think another was Sopranos. He might have been in Sopranos.
He was in Sopranos.
He was, okay.
Yeah. He was Italian. Anyone Italian was
Italian. I know, right? I was like, thinking of Disney. Speaking of Disney stereotypes, right? Oh,
well, while we're talking about Disney Plus for a moment, I think we mentioned it before we started rolling, but they're releasing Rise of Skywalker early on Disney Plus on May the 4th. I think that's awesome. Particularly for folks like myself who are either too cheap or too lazy to procure a digital copy when it was first released on home video, I was just kind of waiting for nothing in particular before seeing it again. Now I finally get to see it for next to free on my Disney Plus. I think that's pretty damn cool.
That is cool. I bit the bullet like 3 weeks ago, and I picked it up on digital. It was like $17 on like HD movie codes, and I had like a $5 coupon, so I got a 4K version for relatively cheap. I was not expecting it to show up on Disney Plus as quick as it did.
Yeah, nobody was. It wasn't supposed to hit till July or something like that, like the end of July. I think it came out 2 months early. Yeah. May the 4th is going to be pretty damn good stuff going on, because we also get the behind the scenes Mandalorian series. It's supposed to be, I believe, 8 episodes of it's a bunch of like roundtable discussions with the filmmakers and a bunch of BTS material that we haven't seen before. Super stoked about that.
Cool.
And I was looking, Randy, there are conflicting reports, but it looks like May the 4th may have the Clone Wars finale after all.
So that's pretty darn cool too. So the Friday before we get the second to last episode, and then instead of having to wait an entire week, we only have to wait a few days till May the 4th. We get the final episode. So I'm saving all the last episodes for the last story arc. I'm saving until the last one's released so I can just binge it. So that puts me two episodes behind right now at the time of this recording.
Yeah, I'm jealous. I should have.
It's kind of cool. Like the last four episodes are like this one arc, and so like the opening is different. And you know how Clone Wars, all of the music and stuff is just like just adjacent to Star Wars music. Like they don't have the classic John Williams theme. For the last four episodes, they can that in. Like it has the opening with John Williams theme, and it's very much in the vein of Star Wars, and it's got like a different like opening look to it and stuff like that. It's really, really cool. It's basically everything about that is opposite to the four episodes that preceded it.
The trash episodes. They were so bad.
I didn't mind those four episodes. Oh my God. I had fun with it. They were okay. You know why? You know why I liked it? And this is silly and stupid.
I can't even imagine.
But you know, as soon as I say why, you're going to say, oh, that makes sense.
Oh, yeah. Right. Good work. Because wow me.
They canonized the original Kenner action figures for all the Cantina aliens. Blue Snaggletooth, Red Snaggletooth, Hammerhead, Walrus Man, the original Greedo. They put animated versions of them in the outfits, the ridiculous bright neon-colored outfits that they wore in the action figures released in 1979. They put them in the Clone Wars and made them canon. And
I think that's great, but that was 2 seconds of a four-episode arc.
Oh, I know.
Too long, dude.
And. We got to see what a binary load lifter looks like. Oh. I mean, we heard
C3 dreams come true
in A New Hope.
And apparently they freak out. I don't know.
Apparently.
I was just bummed. The first four episodes were everything I wanted of Clone Wars. You know, it had clones and there was a war. And
the Bad Batch.
Yeah, I loved the Bad Batch. I loved everything about them. I love Rex. Rex has an amazing scene when he's reunited with Ahsoka that I know you haven't got to yet, but you'll eventually appreciate. There were four episodes. It was like these three broads traveling space, and I just didn't care. And like they just kept making stupid decision after stupid decision. It was like Three's Company, and
I was just, they go into the Regal Beagle, and they're gonna get into some trouble. Yeah. It's gonna be great.
Larry shows
captured.
Up.
Oh man, it was
dumb like nuts.
Tripping over furniture. It was nuts. Yeah.
I would have been fine if it was a one-off. You know, that's fine. You know, there has to be filler episodes, but for them to dedicate four episodes, for them to 88 minutes.
That was a lot.
I agree. That was a lot for that particular arc. There was a lot that I really liked about it, though. I liked learning a little bit more about the spice trade. I like seeing Ahsoka trying not to be a Jedi, but she just can't help it and has to use her force powers. There's a lot about that arc that I really did enjoy. The Pikes, we got to see more of the Pikes. I thought that was kind of cool. We're learning more about the underworld, the criminal underworld. This is important stuff because it ties into Solo and Darth Maul and all that kind of stuff. I mean, all of this weaves a giant, big-ass tapestry. And I, for one, I'm here to see the tapestries.
An ugly tapestry. And they said spice more times than fucking a Dune novel.
Yeah. I know you haven't seen the new episodes, Rainy, so I won't spoil anything, but I was devastated that they did not... it was funny because Justin was just talking about this the other day about that business in Kato Nemoidia. They did not canonize the Labyrinth of Evil Legends novel, and they go straight from one planet to Coruscant for the beginning of Revenge of the Sith. And so I was very sad that business in Kato Nemoidia not only doesn't count,
it doesn't exist.
It did not happen. So the inside joke in Revenge of the Sith is, I guess maybe he's referring to something that happened at a different time in Kato Nemoidia's history.
No, Labyrinth of Evil is still going to be canon in my heart.
But I feel like the Kato Nemoidia stuff happened at the beginning of that novel, and then they go on to have the rest of the adventure throughout it. I feel like it was at that factory, and then it was over and done with inside of like the first quarter of the book.
I feel like I'd have to reread it because I really don't remember. Hmm. We're going back 15, 16 years in my memories, and it gets hazy.
Yeah, and I was reading it really fast in line for episode 3.
Those yeah, but I loved I've only seen obviously only the two episodes that are out, but I like that it takes place during Revenge of the Sith, and there's a pivotal moment at the beginning of Revenge of the Sith that is mentioned you know, when they're talking about a certain Sith Lord that maybe loses his head. and so it was just kind of fun to hear that play out. So.
Yeah.
I'm digging it so far.
Should I, now, having seen the first two episodes of the arc, should I rewatch Revenge of the Sith before going into this just to refresh my memory what happens?
No.
I haven't seen that movie in years.
No, it's okay. Fine. They'll tell you everything that you need to know.
Okay.
There's a space battle, and they cut off Dooku's head, and then Anakin goes to watch Palpatine and becomes Darth Vader.
That is the best space battle, though, I think. The opening of
I think
that is by far my favorite Star Wars space battle. It is so goddamn epic.
Yeah. The music with the drums.
Oh, yeah. My God, it's so good. Man, the scores for the prequels are so...
They're on point,
better than they have any reason for being, you know? Sure.
And the vehicles.
Oh,
I'm decorating my garage, and I have my gunship up here, and I got my turbo tank over there, and I was just playing with them the other day, and I'm like, these are fucking so rad. And Amy's like, are you going to sell those? I'm like, no. You go before these things go.
You know what my favorite part about the clones, Clone Wars cartoon, excuse me, stroking out, is the narration of like a newsreel, like a propaganda type video at the beginning. That's my favorite part every time.
War it's coming to the public.
I love
it's so fun.
It's got like that, it's got that transatlantic kind of like voice going on.
Great. Like the just only on the thing wire.
The only thing it's missing is that like clicking of a film projector going on.
Yeah, that'd be great.
I love it.
Yeah, the only thing I was sad about in the final chapter is that, you know, we see what will be the final interaction between Anakin and Ahsoka, and I just wish it had a little more meat, but I understand that it needed to be brief, just because, you know, Anakin's going to go do some bad stuff. Or good stuff, depending on what side of the fence you're on.
Sure. Mostly bad stuff.
Pretty much.
The Jedi Temple was probably pretty overcrowded, so maybe he just thought he was doing his part, you know.
Yeah. A calling, right?
He agreed with Thanos.
Sure.
Yeah, and even the beginning of the thread is, you know, in the opening crawl, it's like, Jedi are spread to the edge of the galaxy, and I'm like, oh, that's a bad idea. I guess don't do that.
Yeah,
stay close.
It's like when you're playing Call of Duty and that one asshole leaves the team, like, oh, dude, you're gonna die, man.
Later, dude.
Yeah, thinning of the herd, as it were. Those GD lone wolves.
Yeah.
Moving on. Sony Pictures. They're being a little weird. they have now dubbed their amazing Spider-Man movies and now anything that they're gonna be doing as Sony Pictures Universe of Marvel Characters. Yeah. The Spunk. As
it were. You got Spunk.
Spunk? You got Spunk again.
All I can think is Detroit Rock City.
S-P-U-M-C. That's complicated. I don't like
a dirty
that.
Word.
No, have
it
you
sounds like
seen...
I wouldn't want that in my search bar.
Yeah. It reminds me of that scene in, have you seen The Horrible Bosses 2?
I never finished it.
Okay, the very beginning of the movie, they're like pitching their product, and you know, it's Jason Bateman, Jason Sudeikis, and Charlie Day.
Yeah. But
they're on like the Today Show, like a local news thing, and they're asking, "Where can I get this product?" And the characters' names are Nick. I'm pausing for effect. Kurt and Dale, and so if you say Nick, then Kurt, then Dale, really fast in your play in your brain. Don't say that loud.
Right. Yeah, it's offensive.
So it's Keegan-Michael Key is the host, and then he's like, "Where can we get it? You got to go straight to blank." And he's like, "Oh man, you got to change that name." Like, how do we never say this out loud? I feel like that nobody thought that people are going to make an acronym out of this, and Spumcy.
Why couldn't they just call it the Spider-Verse or the Spidey-Verse or something like
weird?
Because that is such a well-loved term that's already out in the geekdom.
I know, they're crazy.
It's because Spider-Man is, I don't know how nebulous his interaction in the Sony Spider-Verse is going to be.
But I mean, even with like the Arrowverse, you know, he's not in all those shows all the time, so I mean, it still makes sense to call it the Arrowverse.
But yeah, spoiler alert, he's dead now and the show is over. they could still call it the Arrowverse.
Right. No, I know. I mean, that's where it all started. So, yeah. I mean, I get it.
But he existed in that world. To where Spider-Man, you know, he might not exist in his world.
Well, now he has to.
I get it.
Yeah. Well, he doesn't because it's the Spunk, not the Spider-Man. For the Spider-Verse, he'd have to exist. He doesn't have to exist in the Spunk.
Sure. Well, you know, just get rid of Spider-Man altogether and just have Venom be the one character leading the charge, and it's the Venomverse.
Yeah. Sounds toxic.
Here, have some of Venom's Spunk.
Yeah. That's like the sound it makes when like the symbiote hits the ground or something. Spunk.
Yeah. That's sploosh.
You know, and you know there was like a meeting, like high level meeting with just like hundreds of execs, like, oh yeah, I think this
and
is
they're high fiving and shaking mm-hmm. hands and yeah. They did it, man. They were burning the midnight oil and they came up with gold.
Fucking nailed it. We're all getting promoted, boys.
And then you got a bunch of assholes sitting here on a podcast talking about Spunk.
Right.
Yeah, it was just like when it was the DC film universe. Like, oh yeah, it's that's DCFU.
DCFU.
Yeah. No, that's true.
Yeah. Speaking of the DCFU, did you see Patty Jenkins already has her plan for the third Wonder Woman and an Amazon spinoff, and that is the end of Wonder Woman with her involvement?
Mm-mm.
And so she wants to make four films.
Wow, that's a lot.
I'm glad that she's thinking it out ahead of time and developing an arc that can sustain four movies rather than just, hey, the first one was popular, and hey, let's crank out three more that are ill-conceived and, you know, quickly rushed into production. So I'm glad to have one mind behind all four is what I'm saying.
Let's sure. throw the Dark World this shit.
Right. It is funny, though, like when something like the pirate movies or the Matrix movies or even the Hobbit, how the middle movie is a bit of a red herring and it doesn't really get you anywhere, and then you gotta wait for the final movie to finally get that resolution, which is kind of obnoxious, I suppose.
It's all those versus movies that are filmed back to back,
yeah, versus something like you know, even Back to the Future 2 or
What's Home Alone 2.
No, Two Towers. Like, those definitely have some sort of resolution to where you can stop and be okay with waiting for the next one. You're not like on the edge, you're not on pins and needles, like, holy shit, what just happened?
Exactly. And Back to the Future 2 is one of those rare ones because, like David said, shot back to back. You think most movies that, like The Hobbit, that were all shot in one go, you know, it would be really easy for those just to leave it open because the next one's just going to be out next year. But no, back in 1989, they knew how to treat a lady.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, I get that Doc gets trapped in the Old West, but by the sound of his letter, it sounds like he's fine. So it's like, it's kind of okay if nothing else happens. You're like, all right, well, whatever. Sucks to be you, dude, but I'm okay with it. I'm alive. But
if they stop their kids from being assholes, you know, there's a resolution there.
Yeah.
But the difference is then the talented filmmakers and then people who make the Hobbit movies.
Right, right, right.
Look at you, Peter Jackson.
But he made those other ones that were good.
He did.
Have you seen that behind-the-scenes clip from Making of the Hobbit? And it's Peter Jackson on lunch break, and it's an empty set, giant green screen walls and, like, broken columns and stuff like that. And he's sitting there practically in the fetal position, just completely overwhelmed and not knowing where to go with it because they rushed those into production. Now, granted, he was brought in fairly late in the process because it was originally going to be Guillermo del Toro doing those movies.
Right.
And he didn't have the time to prepare that he did for the original Lord of the Rings movies. But still, they wanted to keep that deadline, so they pushed it forward. And he was not prepared. And he was just an absolute mess. You see him just sitting there. Just, you have never seen somebody just more bereft sitting in this sad green screen stage. alone on a lunch break.
I am curious what a Guillermo del Toro Middle Earth would have looked like. And especially if it was only one movie, maybe two, whatever, but I think it would have been a pretty magical experience.
Yeah. I think it'll be great. I hope one day we'll get like the art of that Guillermo del Toro's Hobbit. Like I'm hoping we'll get some kind of book. Cuz I mean that's what really I think weighed down on Peter Jackson. They did all this previs on what Guillermo del Toro wanted to do, but you know, Guillermo del Toro probably had a completely different look than what Peter Jackson ended up with.
But I mean, that was years, because he was a part of it while I still lived in California, and then, you know, they didn't come out until I moved to Washington. And I just remember it being Guillermo del Toro was at least a part of it for like 2 years, maybe more, before Pistol Pete took over.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it all boiled down to the whole MGM collapse. You know, had MGM had all their problems. You know, he would have stuck around, but he was very honest. He's like, I don't want to spend the next 4 years of my life making these movies.
Yeah.
That's, you know, I've already put like 2 or 3 years into it. I don't want to turn this into 7 years of my life. I have a finite number of stories to tell, and I want to tell my stories. So if you're going to hold me up for all these years, that's just not what I'm interested in.
Yeah.
I don't want to make 3 movies out of a 300-page kids book.
Right. And then he went on to do the Pacific Rim movie.
Yeah, he did Pacific Rim, and then he did the Crimson Peak, and then he did some good movies too.
I remember Pacific Rim. No one knew anything about that movie, and then they had that reveal, in 2012, right when we were at Comic Con, and everyone's like, "Oh my God, this is gonna be the greatest movie ever! So cool! People love robots and monsters." And
I finally just saw the second one. It wasn't bad.
Yeah, I haven't seen it.
It's fun.
Surprising enough.
I didn't know that.
Let's see here. Last on the list is the Assassin's Creed Valhalla cinematic trailer. And I made you guys watch it before the show, and I'm glad you did, and I'm very excited about it. I know it doesn't make a whole lot of sense, but it looked really cool. It looked like freaking that dude from the Vikings. What the hell was his name? Ragnar Lothbrok or some shit. It looked like that guy fighting the mountain from Game of Thrones. And it was cool. I was eating it up. And I liked the music a lot. I thought it was a lot of fun. And it got me all riled up and excited and a little moist like a cake. And I pre-ordered the collector's edition, and I'm excited about that. And I actually set my alarm this morning for 7:57 a.m. so I could get up and watch the trailer when it was revealed at 8 a.m. this morning. And
that's some dedication right there.
I know, right? I'm a big fan of the franchise. I always have been. I always get the collector's editions. I'm a sucker for them. And I'm just, thank you very much for watching it. And I know you have a lot of questions, and so do I. The actual gameplay footage is going to be revealed during a Microsoft event where the Xbox Series X is going to be showcased. And what's cool about this, too, is that when you buy the Xbox One version, you get a free upgrade to the Series X version when you get that console. It is via their smart delivery system. And so you'll just get an automatic update that will spruce that goose up to the latest technology. So, yay on that. You don't got to buy the game twice.
It looks amazing. I mean, I watched the entire History Channel Viking series, and I have seen many a Viking movie. And this cinematic looked every bit as badass as anything that I've seen in any of holy crap. No, it looked good. But I'm like, yeah, but what is the gameplay like? And I've never actually played an Assassin's Creed game, so I really don't know what to expect.
Yeah, you don't have to worry about it.
I am not what you would call a modern gamer. My most recent video game system that I own is probably 10 years old. So, I'm not the right person to talk to about that. But I do know something that looks pretty badass when I see it, and that looks badass.
There you go. David Edmondson at Snacky Cakes. What's eight?
I don't get it. Like, are we the bad guys? Like, the whole narrative at the beginning is like the Vikings are bad. They murder and
people.
And but we're the Vikings. I've never played Assassin's Creed games. All I know is that every other one is amazing, and the ones that aren't amazing are broken. Do we know the story behind it at all? I'm assuming it's just the launch trailer, so we don't know much, but I got the impression that we were playing as the Vikings and they were set up as the bad guys. And so we're the bad guys, but then these Brits that we were killing, they didn't seem like very good guys either. So maybe we're like the less bad guys.
Right.
And then Odin turned into a bird. And it was very Warcraftian. So it looked pretty. I mean, it was cool. I guess Vikings make me sad.
Yeah, they're a rough crowd. They are the Razor Scooter gangs of old. And they're a sketchy bunch. And no, I agree with you. My only take on English soldiers and like medieval times is they're always the bad guys in movies. So, like, I'm kind of okay with those guys kind of getting their comeuppance, because the king's always a fucker, and he's always, you know, banging brides on their wedding night and killing people, and they're just never portrayed in a good light. And so that is my ignorant perception of the English of old. Unless it's fucking King Arthur from Sword in the Stone, the rest of them are terrible people. That is it. That is my knowledge of that island of England. And so, for the sake of the Vikings, yes, they are always terrible and they're bad people. They are ancient pirates, basically, and for lack of a better word. But in the Assassin's Creed games, interestingly enough, the assassins you always play as them. But there was one game called Assassin's Creed Rogue. Assassin's Creed Rogue, and you're actually playing as a Templar. You were an assassin, but then you switch sides, and the Templars actually make a lot more sense from, like, a naive joining a cult perspective. The assassins are okay with killing any goddamn person that they want. It's all about, like, the greater good, whereas the Templars are trying to stop the assassins with all their craziness and their reckless behavior. So on paper, I am more of the opinion that the Templars are the good guys and the assassins are the bad guys. And that's coming from someone that's played all the games and enjoys the shit out of them. But I sort of had this moment of clarity where I'm like, God damn, the assassins are terrible people when I was playing Rogue. So there's my two cents. And that's, kings are bad, Vikings are bad, they're ancient pirates. And this game's going to be cool, and I can't wait to play it.
If I had a current system, I would totally want to play it.
Okay, good.
I just sound like Vikings. if they were like a fictional character, I'd be like, oh, those are cool villains and stuff like that. But just knowing that they're real, like, I don't know. I got real sad when I saw, like, Vikings for some reason. Like, I can't explain my reaction. Like, I've never had a reaction like that before, but when I saw them, I'm like, you know, these are like the worst fucking people in the world, probably, just raping and murdering people. And I don't know why this trailer affected me in that way. Usually I'm like, eh, it's just a game. But for some reason,
like, sure. I mean, the beginning did show them being like, you know, they have families and they have wives and children. So it humanized them in a way. But I totally get what you're saying. They're bad people. I never met a Viking that I liked. Let's put it that way. Although I did like that one movie, The 13th Warrior, is that what it's called? With Antonio Banderas?
Yeah.
Yeah. Those were cool Vikings.
Bring out your dead.
So I have a fun game for us, if you guys want to play.
I always want to
play. I like fun games.
Okay.
I like winning fun games.
Sure. So this is going to be kind of fun. It's a Stargate game.
Oh, right?
And you'll each get a turn, okay? And this is going to be a lot of fun. Who wants to go first?
Do I need to rewatch Stargate Atlantis?
No, you don't need to watch any Stargate stuff any further. You have completed your Stargate education.
Sweet. I have seen no episodes of any shows and disliked the film. Am I at a disadvantage here?
You're going to do great.
Oh, my God. I love the film, and I saw the first, like, 9 seasons of SG-1, and I haven't seen anything since then. So
okay. It's totally fine. I have prepared for this exact scenario, so you guys are going to be okay.
All right.
This was done pretty quickly while I was in the closing minutes of my dinner being ready. So this is a bit rushed, but I think it'll work out just fine, all right?
How many of the answers are Kurt Russell?
None. Oh. It's all about you, baby. Don't worry about Kurt. Okay. He's done his job. So you have stumbled across a Stargate. And because you've seen the movie and maybe a few commercials of the TV series, you consider yourself an expert on the matter. You conveniently find a directory listing connected worlds with a brief description to help you decide where you want to go on your journey. So who wants to go first? Who's going to step through the gate first?
I'll go first. Why not? I'm a sucker.
Okay, Randy, you're flipping through the guide. What sort of habitat are you interested in? You can do, like, tropical, desert, underwater, concrete jungle, like Coruscant. You could do that too.
I want to do a forest like Endor.
Ooh, perfect. Okay, so this world is lush and beautiful, filled with peace and prosperity. Children of all ages carry a grade average of 4.0 and have signed letters of intent at Ivy League schools, and there are Pandora-sized creatures on this planet, all right? The kind that would bite your goddamn head off, man. Mosquitoes. If they bite you, you will go insane. One guy thought spiders were crawling all over his genitals, so he cut them off. That's how crazy you get. Okay. All right? But that's okay. That's okay. Because you have a kick-ass bodysuit that won't let any mosquitoes penetrate it. All right? However, it runs pretty hot, making your body temperature clock in at about 103 degrees if you wear it for more than 5 minutes.
Okay.
Unfortunately, all the food is kept outside, and it's against the rules to bring it indoors. If you're caught with food inside, then you get the boo box as seen in Hook. Pretty good, right?
Yeah.
Now, you can leave whenever you like, but once you step through that gate and return to your world, an explosive energy will occur that will destroy the world that you just visited. All right? Killing everyone, even the kids with a 4.0 grade average.
Cool.
Do you stay or do you GTFO?
Well, I am going to quote something I saw on the internet the other day and say, fuck them kids.
So they go bye-bye. They don't get to go to their Ivy League schools.
Don't you work at a school, Randy?
Fuck their letters of intent.
They're signed. It's official. You're going to ruin their college degrees.
Nope. No, I'm going to go all Anakin on those kids.
That's first, too bad.
First of all, I'm going to break every rule that planet has. I'm going to take I'm going to get a stack of burgers, and I'm going to take them into my hotel room, and I'm just going to fill up a bathtub with it, and I'm just going to get naked in there, and I'm just going to be eating burgers naked in a bathtub. And then when their planet police or whatever the hell it is bust down my door and find me, I'm going to have whatever illicit weapon that isn't legal to even think about owning, I'm gonna have one, and I'm gonna blast my way out of that bitch, and then I'm gonna steal whatever planetary police vehicle they got. Hover bike, sure.
You can just walk through the gate.
Random bicycle, I'll take it. No, because I gotta get to the gate, because I imagine it's a good distance away.
Oh, okay, good thinking.
So, you know, let's picture it like the APC vehicle in Aliens. It's this big armored son of a bitch with like 6 wheels. Mm-hmm. So I'm gonna hop into one of those things, and then I see a school, an elementary school.
Listen to
and
you.
There's all these kids, and you know, one of them's gonna turn out to be a bad seed or something. So it's probably like you're doing somebody a favor somewhere along the lines by just like driving off the side of the road and just kind of like taking it. Well, because I mean, honestly, they're all gonna die as soon as you leave the gate anyway. And I know I'm leaving. I'm not gonna be turning to look back on this world. This world is a cheap, disposable pleasure. I'm going to go there like on a vacation and have fun. And then I'm just going to burn it. I am going to burn it.
Randy is the Viking in this scenario.
Truth be told, I thought you, David, would pick the forest level of the forest world, and you wouldn't hurt the kids. And this whole plan backfired on me.
Talk about your own backfires.
I thought Randy would go for the city type and be trolling the Coruscant area, so I kind of set a whole plan for that.
So let's play the scenario up to its logical conclusion. So
it's the same answers. I get to the city. I find the brothel. I bring the bronze.
I get to the Stargate and I got to get out of this thing. And there's all these cops and they've called in their planetary military and they're all in the like jungle camo and stuff. And they're just shooting.
As
luckily,
do.
I have this big armored vehicle, so I'm hiding behind it. And I'm like, I got to find one big last FU for these fuckers before I just leave and torch the planet. So I remember that when I was in this vehicle, I saw a big red button. And I said, do not under any circumstance press me. So I just knew that that would probably unleash some sort of nuke in the planet's core or something like that. So I hit that red button and then I hightail it for that Stargate. I don't even look over. I don't even give them the decency of looking over my shoulder to see any of their screaming faces as I go right back through that wormhole.
Just in case that going through the wormhole was a hypothetical, they were going to die. He didn't want to leave anything to chance that this was just a moral choice. And when you went back, they were going to tell you how awful you were. He wanted to make sure they suffered.
Yeah, I wanted to make sure that, you know, I was going to enjoy every moment of this and that nobody would be around to remember. So I come through the other side of the wormhole and I'm sitting there with a big dumb grin on my face because I think I just got away with something. And then there's Justin sitting in there in a lab coat and he's got like a clipboard and a pen and he's taking notes down. and then there's like a bunch of military dudes behind him that are just sitting there shaking their heads. And it was all an experiment. Nobody actually really died. Well, they didn't have to die. But they didn't think I was going to do all that shit that I did.
No, you're the worst.
The way I see the scenario happening on the other end of the portal, Randy, is they come through like, just so you know, nobody died. You know, it was just a moral decision. You weren't going to trigger anything by coming through the wormhole. You're like, yeah, I didn't want to leave it to chance, so I went ahead and I detonated their planetary core. I knew all you scientists were just a bunch of pussies who weren't going to do it.
You always have a plan B.
Yeah. So anyway. That's
there's more
the game. Do I win?
Not exactly.
I think that poor planet loses.
Oh man, I no joke. When if David goes the right route, you will hear this scenario, and you are going to be jealous.
I don't know. I think I had a good time.
This is a good time. I think this.
I don't even know if I can or want to follow Randy here.
You'll do great. You'll do great. All right. Same rules apply.
All right.
You have conveniently found a directory, and you get to pick your planet. What sort of habitat are you interested in?
Well, tropical. Ran into the city, so just for the sake of hearing your scenario, let's go city then.
I could have made anything work, except for desert, but that would have broke the game. So I'm glad he didn't choose that one. I didn't have time for that. My food was ready.
I almost chose desert,
actually. Who wants to go to a desert?
Nobody. Just to see it's what you've made up.
Yeah, I would have been like, damn it, you broke the game.
You get there, there's these big old things that make spice.
Yeah, no more spice. I don't want to hear spice ever again. That episode 8 ruined it. Holy shit. Let's see here. Okay. So you said the concrete jungle, right?
Let's do the concrete jungle. It's the last one I probably would choose, but I want Randy to hear what he missed. I want him to look in my eyes when he finds it.
All right, perfect. So this world is in the middle of a civil war. You can side with the current ruler, which will net you a comfortable job, away from danger, but nothing really special coming your way either. You can't quit your job or you'll be killed. Lights out are promptly at 8 p.m. Pacific Stargate time. You have the most beautiful roommate on the planet, but you are not permitted to do anything sexual in nature with this person, or you will immediately be killed. You are wearing a collar around your neck that will explode if you break any of these rules. However, you can also join the other side, the rebels, right? They have nothing of value to offer you at the moment, but if you win, they will make you a king and give you all the kingly shit you desire, like a 3D printer, action figures, mint in box, and all the sex that you require from a man, woman, or non-binary individual. However, if you're captured during battle, you will be tortured by way of the human centipede. Spoiler alert, you are the caboose. And now, like Donovan, you will not want to choose poorly. Which side do you join?
And I have the same rule. If I go back through the wormhole, the universe explodes.
No, I didn't give you that rule.
Oh. I broke that rule, so you don't have it now.
you get to do one or the other. You can't leave. You're trapped.
Oh, I can't leave. I'm trapped here. All right. Now, is the current government system, are they a benevolent government or are they evil and corrupt?
No, they're more like the evil Galactic Empire. They are hardly benevolent.
And there's really no room. Stuck middle management there. There's no room for advancement there.
No room for growth, dude. You are trapped. You are a robot just hanging out, doing your 9 to 5. You are trapped forever and all eternity. But you won't be killed or put in any sort of danger. You will be out of harm's way, which is comforting.
Unless Unless the rebels find him.
No, they're not going to.
Middle manager, right? They're not going to waste their time on me.
Yeah.
They might. They'll try to recruit me because I'm so valuable to them.
But you have been told that you're not allowed to join any unions or any talk of union, and you will be killed just like that.
Well, Justin, you know I'm not a pro-union guy.
and the rebels count as a union.
So I think just for the amusement factor, I would definitely join the rebels. I would climb their ranks. I would become their savior, and I would just attack after 8 o'clock at night, since no one's allowed afterwards. Just stroll through the streets.
Yeah. What would you print on your 3D printer?
I would do a lot of stuff. I would make small little action figures, and then medium action figures, and larger action figures. And then I would make myself a suit of armor, because I went to many, many panels at over the last year or so about 3D printing armor, especially Stormtrooper armor. And I'd make some kick-ass armor for me and my friends. And, yeah.
That's exciting.
It's not boring.
I am literally blown away that you guys, that Randy, not only killed an entire planet, but he didn't even choose the scenario that I thought for sure he would make. It's like a roulette table, and you always bet on black, and I put my chips on red, and it ended up being fucking double zero. It ended up being a monkey wrench.
I like that Randy didn't even take the 2 seconds to think about it to make it work. He's like, yeah, fuck these people.
Yeah, fast. He's like, I got shit on the TiVo. I got to watch. I'm getting back.
Honestly, somebody in every story, someone has to be the villain. There has to be a villain in every story.
Sure. You can twirl your mustache as you walk through the gate.
Exactly.
there are villains, and then there are, I'm going to destroy your planetary core, and... And then just to make sure you die, go through this Stargate to kill you.
Just in case.
You did double genocide.
Oh.
You're like, double tap. You gotta make sure they stay down.
I've seen Olympus Has Fallen. I know how it goes.
There's another one.
There are like so many of those movies.
Angel Has Fallen. Yeah, there's three of them.
Yeah, and there's drones attacking.
Olympus, London, and Angel.
Yeah,
actually, it's not so bad, Angel.
I was gonna say I like the London one. I mean, I like the first one too, but I ended up watching London Has Fallen just on a whim. I was bored, and it was on, and I actually enjoyed it. And I was like, "God damn, it's pretty good." Yeah.
Where's the newer Well streaming? Is it on any of the subscription VOD services?
It's on Netflix.
Yeah, it's on Netflix. Olympus Has Fallen is one of the very first films I ever reviewed. So, fun fact.
What's the other one called? White House Down.
Yeah, White House Down was the Jamie Foxx, Channing Tatum version.
Hmm. Cool.
Can you do?
I just watched two different movies with both of those people. I watched Monsieur Candy. I watched Django. And then I watched Hateful Eight. Hmm. And I got the Channing Tatum and I got a Jamie Foxx.
And it's funny, you said that you would stop watching Django when they get to Candyland.
Right, I finished it this morning. Okay. Yeah,
I was gonna say for me that's when it really picks up. Like I love it.
Oh, anyway. It's too intense, man. It makes me nervous.
I love DiCaprio.
Did you watch the miniseries version of Hateful Eight or the movie version?
Not this time. I've seen it. I watched it, and it's definitely interesting. But
that's my introduction to it. And I didn't see the theatrical version. I jumped right into the miniseries version.
Yeah, it's longer. It's good, but I just needed some background noise. And I always like it when that Walton Goggins, is that his name? I think that guy is so funny. I love that dude so much. He's great. The president. Abraham Lincoln. Oh, God. I love it. I was typing away, and I just started laughing like an idiot as I was working. It was great. Anywho, that is all I have. Thank you for humoring me and playing through my Stargate game.
And, sorry I broke it.
That's okay. That's okay. That's what makes it fun, right? There are no absolutes in this universe. And you just proved that. So it's all good. Special
when
thanks.
You get the answers, you change the question.
Right. To flip it on us. Flip that script. But real quick, just again, thank you for the positive reception for us being back. Super excited about it. This is a regular thing. We finally all have normal jobs that have put us in a position to where we can reconvene once a week, and very excited about it. And I hope everyone is staying healthy, staying safe, and sane. I know that this quarantine can make you go a little crazy town banana pants, and we certainly don't want that for anyone. Remember to like us on the Facebook, follow us on the Twitter, at Geek Legacy, at Randy Van Dyke, at Edgy Armo, and at Snacky Cakes. Thank you so much.